I want to go over our mission statement. And this is our mission statement. So it's kind of like the big picture of who we want to be. At Great Commission Community Church, our mission is to live out our name by making disciples who are committed to Christ, His community, and His cause. So that's kind of a tagline there. You can just think, if you can't remember anything else from these, remember Christ, community, cause, and then that'll make you wonder, what was that again? But you'll get that. The vision statements that we've been working on, and I'm just going to go over these real quickly. We heard from Pastor Steve. We envision many people experiencing new life in Jesus Christ. We envision people of all backgrounds and ages empowered by the Holy Spirit pursuing Christ-likeness together through God's Word and prayer and worship. We envision people living in authentic Christian community where we grow in love for God and neighbor. We envision reaching the least reached people groups with the gospel of Jesus Christ in the DMV region and the ends of the earth. We envision greater realities of God's kingdom in the DMV region as we participate in His redemptive work in our broken world. All right, you can go to the next one for me. This is the reason this was highlighted. This is where we're at today. I get the privilege of preaching on this. We envision reaching the least reached people groups with the gospel of Jesus Christ in the DMV and the ends of the earth. Now, this is clearly our missions focused vision statement. Like, this is kind of where everything, and I'm kind of helping out with all our mission stuff. That's why I'm up here right now for this one. But I think mission stuff is often something that a lot of us are like, yes, totally, I want that to happen. Like, I'm glad that our church has this up there. But I think this is also one of those things, whenever you hear missions, that for so many of us, we begin to check out because we're thinking, well, that's for somebody else. In fact, I think of it like this. When I was a kid, I used to play soccer all the time. And my freshman year in high school, I tried out for the soccer team, but we had a very good team. We were in a boarding school in Germany, so everybody played soccer. And I didn't know if I would make it. But I went ahead and I tried out, and I'm not really that good of a runner. So when they did the tryouts on running, I was like one of the last people. So I thought, there's no way. Like, I'm not making this team. But I went to see the list, and I made the team, and I was shocked, but I made the team. However, the whole rest of the year, I never even dressed. And for those of you who don't know what that means, it means not only did I not play in the game, I wasn't even on the sideline. Like, I didn't have a jersey, and when we went to, like, most of our games were away, I didn't even go. So, like, I was super happy because I got to play soccer, like, every day and practice, and that was fun, but I kind of felt almost like I wasn't on the team because I never went with the team anywhere and I never wore a jersey. So it was like, my friends were like, are you sure you're on the team? And I'm like, yeah, I'm on the team, really. But why I'm sharing this is that often the coach would get up and he would say, okay, all right, here we're going to talk about our game plan for Saturday because our games were, we had one game a week on Saturday. And at this point, this is what I would do. Because I'm like, this has nothing to do with me. It has no bearing on my life because I'm not going to the game. I'm not dressing for the game. It doesn't matter what you say right now. It has no importance for my life. And see, I think a lot of times when we hear the word missions or things that do with missions, a lot of us act like I did, where it's like, it doesn't matter because that's not for me. And today I want to walk us through and show all of us how really this, reaching the least reached people groups, it's for all of us. And when I say all of us, I know there's kids in here. I'm also talking to you. Okay? So kids, oh, I forgot to mention, obviously, you can pull out your bags, you can do all that stuff, but kids, I'm going to give you a heads up. I'm going to need your help a little later in this sermon. All right? So go ahead and do your cool stuff that's all prepared for you in that bag, but I'm going to be calling on you because I'm going to need your help. All right? But I want you to understand that when I'm saying this, this is for everybody, okay? So whether you think you're like the best person in the world or the worst person in the world and you're just like, I don't got it, I'm going to show you today how honestly this is for everybody. And we're going to take a look at Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. This is what we call the Great Commission. It's fitting for us because our name is the Great Commission Community Church, and this is where this comes from. So I'm going to read this verse for us. It's Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. And this is after Jesus has died and resurrected, and he's about to ascend. Okay, so he's about to go to heaven. And this is what Jesus says. He says, he's talking to his disciples, and he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." The beautiful part about this passage is basically what Jesus is saying. He's saying, look, I have been given all authority, and now I'm sending you out to go make disciples of everybody, everywhere, no matter what, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. What I love about this passage is Jesus is not at this point just talking to 12 people or one person. He's literally talking to every follower who is there with him. This is really a command that is given to all followers of Jesus. So if you are a follower of Jesus, this is a command for you. So you can't write this one off. This is literally a command from Jesus, your Lord and Savior, if you're following after Him, that He is saying, you have been commanded to go make disciples. Okay, so this is really a command for all of us. We can't get away from that. It is for every single one of us. I think part of the reason that this is hard for us is that we might know that. We might think, okay, yeah, I get that. But I think part of the reason that some of us check out with this is that we hear that, but then our immediate thought goes to, but I can't do that. I don't know the first thing about how to do that. I'm not capable for that. And then all kinds of excuses come to the surface, like, I don't have the time, I don't have the training, I don't have the personality, I'm too busy, I have kids, I, whatever it may be, all these kinds of excuses come up, and so we know, yeah, I'm supposed to do that, but it's just not for me. So what some of us will do that might be a little bit, you know, maybe a little bit farther along, we'll say, okay, well, I'm going to attach myself to a church that cares about that. So maybe that's why you're here, because after all, this is the Great Commission Community Church. Like, yes, we care about that. But you know what a church is? The church is a group of people meeting together to worship Jesus. And I want to make something very clear here. When we say this phrase that we envision reaching the least reached people groups, this is not going to happen by one or two people. This is not even going to happen by 10 or 20 people. We are only going to see this accomplished if we as a body, the whole body, gathers together and says, we want to see this happen, and I have to play my part. And I have to do this. This is something that we've all been called to do. And so we have to be a part of it. But I think part of the reason that we also don't do it is since we don't feel gifted or called or capable, we just don't try. Or we're too scared to step out. But that's where Acts 1:8 is a great promise for us. This is also right before Jesus is going away. And he says, but you, speaking again to all of his followers, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And for those who might not be as familiar with biblical stuff, Jerusalem, Judea, ends of the earth, that's basically like your neighborhood, a little bit farther out, people who are a little bit different than you that are still close to you, and then everywhere else. Okay? But what's beautiful here is that when Jesus says this, he doesn't say, all right, guys, pick yourselves up by your bootstraps and go get this done. He literally says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you'll be my witnesses. I don't want you to miss this because this is super important. The function, the capacity, the ability for us to get this done comes solely from the empowerment of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. All right, that's where this comes from. Because Jesus is saying, look, now that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, now you will be my witnesses and you'll get it done. And if you read the book of Acts, you will see how the power of God moves through some of the just regular people to have the Spirit of God move and the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ expands like never before. Now, All right. Now, if you're a kid, I need you to raise your hand for me. Raise your hand. Where are my kids? All right, all these kids. All right, ready? This is where I need your help. See, I love superheroes. Does anybody love superheroes? Yeah, okay. You don't even have to be a kid. You can raise your hand. You can be like, yeah, you can. I watch every superhero movie that's pretty much made. Some of them, I'm like, wow, that was bad. But I'm really glad to be alive right now because Marvel's doing a really good job making some really good movies. My wife, unfortunate for her, fine for me, has been dragged along to like every Marvel movie. And there's so many of them, it's great. But we all have favorite superheroes. But this is what I'm going to do, kids, is I picked four superheroes. And I'm going to ask you to vote to see which is the favorite in the room. Okay? So I know there's tons of superheroes, so I just picked four. So I'm going to show you the picture. So here's our first picture. Here we got Spider-Man. Okay, so that's one option for you. All right, so the next one, we got Batman. So there's an option for you. And then we got Superman. All right. And the last one, we got Wonder Woman. All right. So let's go through those once more because these are your choices. All right. So you only get one vote. All right. You're only going to get one vote, kids. All right. So choices again are Spider-Man, Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman. And this is how we're going to do the vote. Okay, kids, you ready? When you see the picture for your favorite superhero, I want you to stand up, wave your hands, and scream as loud as you can. You got that? Okay, we're gonna do a practice right now. This is just for everybody to know what we're doing. Every kid, stand up, scream, and yell. Ready? One, two, three, go. Guys, come on. That was pretty sad. That was pretty sad. There's like 50 of you in this room. This corner, okay, that's because they're my kids. They think they can do it. Okay. All right. I need the rest of you to be louder than my own children. All right, you ready? Let's try that again. All right, one, two, three, scream and yell. Okay, all right. Now we've got the screaming down. All right, so, now, adults, if you want to vote for your superhero too, that's fine, okay? All right, so, we're going to start first. Let's go with Spider-Man. Wow. Dude in the front wants Spider-Man. All right. Batman. All right. I don't think we've had any kids so far. I haven't heard any of you. All right. Superman. Where are my kids? Oh, we got to start this over. Kids, you got to vote. You got to scream. You got to yell. You got to be ready. Okay, we're going to start over. I didn't hear any kids. All right. Spider-Man. Okay. All right. Batman. All right. Superman. And Wonder Woman. Okay, I think that was pretty clear. I guess all the ladies are like, let's pick the one lady that's up there. all right. The reason I did it, you know, one of my favorite superheroes growing up and still to this day was always Batman. One of the main reasons that Batman was one of my favorite superheroes was that if he, like, you know, he had no superpowers. Like, he just had a lot of training and a lot of cool gadgets. And so as a kid, there was a delusion in my mind that was like, you know what, you gave me some training and some money to buy those gadgets, I could be Batman. Like, you know, as a kid, I'm like, yeah. But as like Superman, I'm like, I'm not an alien from Krypton. Like, I can't do that. You know, like, I'm not, you know, this, all these other people, like, I don't have a superpower spider web thing. Like, that's never going to happen. But Batman was like, hey, I could possibly be Batman. Like, that's a possibility. You know, like, it could happen. And what I want us to understand today is this. Is Jesus actually says that we can be just like Him. Now, I want to say that because, see, for a lot of us, I feel like when we think of Jesus, we think of Jesus like Superman. Like, He's amazing, He's astounding, He's doing all these cool miracles, but He's like so far up there that we can't even be like Him. So when we read the New Testament about all the cool things that Jesus did, it's like just way over our heads. It's like, I could never do that. But you know what? Jesus actually says we can. In John 14, verse 12, He says this, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in Me will do what I have been doing.
He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Jesus isn't just saying things to say things. He's literally telling us that through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, through God in us, we will do even greater things than He did. That's what He says. Those are His words. They're not my words. And the reason I say this is that when we think about this mission, reaching the least reached people and doing all of this, we need to understand that we're doing this through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, which means that God's desire for you and God's desire for me is that He would see miracles happen, that He would see the kingdom of God advance, that He would see the kinds of things that Jesus did lived out through our lives through the empowerment, the power of the Holy Spirit living out through us. So we can all be Batman. We can all be like Jesus. It's not just a pie-in-the-sky dream. It's a reality here that through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, God can come upon us and use us in ways that we never thought imaginable. And so we are all called to do this. And we are all given the power to do so through the Holy Spirit. And what that means is this: none of us in this room have an excuse. I don't care what you're going on in your life. I don't care how messy it is. I don't care how busy you are. It doesn't matter. Nobody has an excuse. This is the command of our Lord and Savior that says, go out and make disciples, and I've given you everything you need to do it. And so we got to see it happen. Now, before I move on, here's the reason. The reason this is so important to us is this, and I want to remind this, because we live in a day and age where things are often throwing up and down and all this kind of stuff and people reinterpreting things, but we believe this, that Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal life. What that means, reality check for us here, is that means this: if people have not believed in and received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're going to hell. It's not something we like to talk about, but it's a reality. And so why we want to see the least reached people come to know Jesus is because we want people to be in heaven, to be in eternity with Christ. We want the people we love and care about who are around us to know Jesus. This is not just like if we get to it. No, this is serious stuff. Because if people don't come to know Jesus, they're going to spend eternity in hell. And for me, that's not okay. And what I'm hoping is that for all of us, that's not okay. And sometimes it's easy to lose sight of that. It's easy to forget that if they don't know Jesus, even no matter how good they are, no matter how nice they are, no matter how much fun we have with them, if they don't have Christ, they're going to hell. And that's not okay. And that's why for us, it's time to get out of the bleachers and into the game. And by that I mean, I was the kid in the sports. So many of us, we're sitting in the seats and we're not participating. We're not engaging. We're not actually trying to see this happen in any meaningful capacity personally. But it's going to take all of us to do this. And we have no excuse, and we have everything we need provided through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So let's take a look at some of this, okay? So practically speaking, what does this look like? All right? To reach the least reached people groups, okay? That doesn't just mean like somebody out in, you know, the Middle East or something. That means least reached people groups. That could be people who just, that percentage, those group of people are very hardly reached. You want to know one of the biggest least reached people groups that exist everywhere in the whole world? Wealthy people. Jesus Himself said it is harder for a wealthy man to come to faith than a camel to go through an eye of the needle. Wealthy people, because they don't have needs that other people have become one of the most least reached people groups. And if you look at church history over the course of time, we've been horrible at reaching wealthy people. And you want to know something? We live in one of the wealthiest places in the entire world. So when we're talking about reaching the least reached people groups, part of what we're saying is your coworkers, your friends, your neighbors, the people who are all around you, because you know what? They need Jesus. And I can pretty much guarantee you that for a lot of the people that you live with, work with, or around all the time at the bus stop or the metro stop with, that you might be the only person who knows Christ that they'll ever meet. And so if you don't step up, who's going to? This is one of our least peace people groups. There's people all around us. One of the beautiful things about living here in the DMV area is that we are surrounded by people from all over the globe, especially people who are coming from places where if I went to their country to try and teach them about Jesus, I could be killed. And they're our next door neighbors. Okay? This is an amazing opportunity for us. Think about it. If your next door neighbor is from anywhere in the Middle East, or other places in Central Asia, or you know, all of these places that are just really tough to reach because it's illegal to preach the gospel in their country, we have people from those places right next to us. And you know what's amazing? Is the people often who are next to us, they're not just like your average Joe. They're like your diplomat, your high-ranking executive or something that's in our country for a short time. And what would happen if we, as a church, saw these people and reached these people and they came to faith in Christ? What if they were then to go home and be that gospel witness? The world could change. Now, kids, this is also for you. You have classmates, friends, neighbors that you know that you could say, hey, you know what? You guys could say, hey, I love Jesus. You could say, hey, I go to church. You know, one of the things I know that like some of my kids have done is that you all get like projects, right? You have school homework and things, and often what they do in elementary school especially is they'll say, hey, write about something that's important to you. You know what you could do? You could say, Jesus is important to me. Now, that might be hard. It might be challenging. It might be difficult. But you know what? Like I just said, this is for you too. And this is something you can do. And you can tell people, I love Jesus. And part of what we're saying here, and I want to make this very clear, is we're not talking about like getting your soapbox and going on the street and just telling people you're all going to hell, okay? Or handing out tracts. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking simply about engaging people in relationships so that you have a chance to share your faith story, to tell them about who Jesus means to you, and engage with them, and to do this more relationally. I knew of a couple. It was in one of my churches. They were like 80 plus. This guy had Parkinson's. He had like a stroke. He had all kinds of ailments where he could barely walk. Often his brain was kind of going somewhere else. And one time I was talking to him and I just said, hey, God calls us to be friends to our neighbors. How are we going to reach people for Jesus? Reach the least reached peoples if we don't even know anybody in that category. If we don't know our neighbors or our friends. I just talked to him. But I was talking to him within a group, and in my mind, I thought, this guy has a pass, okay? Because he's like in a wheelchair, he can barely talk, and he like has all these ailments that I'm like, this is a guy, he's got a pass. Like, he doesn't have to do anything. Just pray for people. Like, that's in my mind. That's what I'm thinking for this guy. This guy, okay, he hears this message, and he gets home like, yeah, this needs to happen. So he goes home, makes somebody wheel him across the street, so he can knock on a door, knock on his neighbor's door and said, hey, I'm sorry. I don't know you. And I'm sorry about that. I live across the street and I just like to get to know you. And he came and he told me that. And I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, I got convicted. And I was like, man, I got to go next door to my neighbor and start being like, hey, can I get to know you? But that's where it starts. It just starts in getting to know people and beginning to see the influence of those around us and saying, we've got to reach these people. In whatever way that you can, you begin to form those relationships and go out because you've been empowered by God's Spirit and He's commanded you to do it. All right? So that's our local kind of thing. All right? That's how any of us and all of it. And I want to make this very clear. Every person who follows Jesus, we're supposed to do that. Everyone. All right. The next thing that we can do is this, is that some of us are called to leave like our home and go either like across the world or to some other place to find other people who have never heard the name of Jesus and proclaim it. And why I say that is that there are places still in this world where people have never heard the name of Jesus and they will never hear the name of Jesus unless somebody is sent from outside their cultural context to go speak to them. And so some of us are called to go. And I just even want to challenge all of us. Have you ever prayed about that? Have you ever asked God, God, do you want me to go? And have you ever been open to that thought? Because it's very possible that for many of you in this room, God is preparing your heart and saying, I want you to go. Now kids, again, I want you to hear this. This is for you too. When I was in fifth grade, so when I was 10 years old, was when God started to ask me to serve Him with my whole life. I was doing a book report, so I was not super thrilled, right? Who wants to do a book report? But I was doing a book report, and I read a story of a missionary whose name was Jim Elliot, and he went to South America, and he did all this stuff, and it was this really cool story of everything. And I remember in that story, he went to go preach that Jesus to some, like this tribe in the Amazon, and they were like a group of people that constantly killed everybody who would come close to them. And I remember reading this as a kid being like, this guy is crazy. I remember reading it. And then there was this one phrase, one quote that Jim Elliot said, and he said this. He said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And what he was saying is, if you give your life that you can't keep because we're all going to die to gain eternal reward, it's worth it. I remember reading this story of this guy and this cool stuff that he did, and I thought, wow, that sounds amazing. I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do in my life, but this is really cool. And God began to stir in my heart and began to put me on a path where I began to follow after God more closely and say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And so, kids, I want you to know, if you're starting to hear God that says, God, that God's starting to call you and say, hey, I want you to follow me. And I want you to serve me. That could be very real. And I encourage you to pursue that and to tell your parents and say, I think God's calling me into this. And to acknowledge that and talk to your parents or talk to a friend or talk to somebody and say, I think God's doing this. And believe that that's true because God speaks to you right now. And He can move in you. And He can prepare you right now to do amazing things. And He can use you right now, like with your friends. So some of us are called to go. Right now, remember, everybody's called for here. And some of us are called to go. And then the last thing is that some of us, and I would only say all of us, are called, if even especially if you're not called to go somewhere, we're called to support, to give, to that which sends people. Now, here's the thing. We're part of the Christian Missionary Alliance. You've heard this more and more. I'm very into the Alliance. But one of the things that we do really well is missions work. We have over 700 what we call them international workers right now. We have over 700 international workers throughout the globe. And so we're doing some great stuff. Now, you may not be aware of this, but this church has been giving to that regularly through the budget. And so we've been giving about 5%. And so if you've been giving to this church, you have had a part in that work, in that missionary work. You've had a part in sending people overseas, whether you knew it or not. And so what I like to do is I'm aware is that for some of us, we have no idea what the Alliance is or what we're doing or any of that. And so what I'd like to do very briefly is there's a video here that the Alliance made that shows us from the missionary's own words what giving to the Alliance was able to accomplish just last year. Okay, so this is a thank you video they made from just 2017, what giving to them did. And everybody in this church, if you gave to this church, you were part of this. And so let's see that video.
I come to you every January and I thank you for your giving to the Great Commission Fund. And I just wanted you to hear from a lot of other people around the world who are direct beneficiaries of what you give. Thank you.
Last year at Bumble Hospital, we treated 40,000 patients, did 1,500 surgeries, delivered 758 babies, and saw 2,000 people accept Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much for sending us to Cambodia. Actually, in the past year, we've had the privilege of seeing an ethnic group named the Kral have the first person in the history of the world come to Christ in that ethnic group. New Hope is a ministry with 250 kids, many of whom are at risk of being sold. Because we're there, instead they come to Christ. Thanks for helping us be there.
Because of your support and your giving that my atheist friends have had a chance to come to know the love and joy of Jesus Christ.
Our students were able to share the gospel with 3,000 people, and then they were able to dig the foundation of a new Christian school.
An elderly lady, Lo Mei Jen, came to Christ in Taiwan. In spite of opposition, she's following him.
Thank you for your sacrificial giving. This last year, over 15 interns have shared the love of Christ with people of Paris.
Gracias, Puerto Rico, por creer en mi llamado y gracias por enviarme.
A group of our students are part of our church plant that are now actively and diligently sharing the gospel in their own community.
We were able to launch two new churches in areas where before that there had never been any gospel presence.
This past year, we opened the very first Christian Missionary Alliance church in the country of Portugal.
We're discipling a young man and a young woman who both have incredibly difficult backgrounds. And today, both of them are considering the possibility of going into full-time ministry.
Just this year, we launched a women's pregnancy shelter in Eastern Europe that's ministering to migrant women who are now receiving help with their pregnancies, childcare, and most importantly, access to the gospel that they wouldn't be receiving back in their home countries.
We have seen 12 new believers in 1 year in our Spanish speaking church plant in Berlin.
This past year, we've been able to help widows and orphans and other victims of Ebola.
We were able to support two church plant projects in Lima, Peru, amongst the Chinese diaspora.
We had 31 baptisms in our new church plant last year.
Next year, we hope to begin construction on a new land and hopefully open up our second campus church.
Every week, 90 people from around the city join us in our coffee shop to worship Jesus together. 1,000 people heard about Jesus through our teams and interns that came to our Envision site in Taiwan.
We have helped 35 families get new roofs in Central Asia after flooding and disaster, and many of these people are now going to local churches because local pastors who we've partnered with are inviting them to church.
Our San Antonio Church in Paraguay, where there was sand, no roof, no walls, now because of your generosity, we were able to put new floor, new walls, and new roof that is going to bless our entire community.
My friend Kayla was searching for truth, and this year I had the chance to disciple her, and she came to faith in Jesus.
Your gifts are allowing responses to hurricanes right on U.S. soil. Thank you very much for being generous.
Thank you so much for your generous giving. It's because of gifts like these that we're able to have 20 Envision sites all around the world.
We have 80 women that are meeting from all walks of faith to talk about Jesus. And 2 months ago, I got to go to 3 baptisms of these women.
In the last month, we've seen 54 people, from children to adults, from Mexico, Ecuador, and Peru, who have given their lives over to Jesus.
Hey, I want to thank you for partnering with us at Kingdom Leadership Training Center in Mongolia, where we're able to train and equip new pastors like Ilau. His name means victory. This past January, he baptized 10 new believers in Jesus' name. Baptizing people when it's 30 below zero outside in Mongolia is crazy. But thank you for partnering with us.
I hope you got just the briefest little glimpse of what giving to the Great Commission Fund, which is the fund that funds all these missionary efforts in the Alliance, is accomplishing. That's literally just a group of missionaries that were back in the States for their 1 year like home assignment, and they just asked them, what happened? Where you are? And we've got so much more going on. Why I'm sharing that with you is we have a very easy way for us to support those who go. Is giving to the Great Commission Fund. It's the Alliance's way of sending everybody. Unlike a lot of other organizations, we actually fund either fully or almost or most of the funds to send our missionaries over there. That allows them to stay there and not worry about fundraising or what's going to happen. They can just be there. It's just a really great way of doing it, but it requires every church to do that. What we're going to be doing is August 12th, when we actually get a chance to hear from some of our missionaries in Cambodia, we're going to be taking up a special offering for the Great Commission Fund that day. And so this is what I'd ask you to do. I would seriously ask you to go before the Lord and ask God how much He wants you to give. I don't just say that to say like, oh yeah, okay, we'll go pray about it. I know in Christian circles sometimes when you say, okay, we'll be praying for it, what you really mean is please stop talking to me. Yeah, we'll pray for you. That's not what I'm talking about. I really want you to go home as a family, as a couple, as an individual, and say, God, what are you asking me to give to missions? And I want to challenge you on this. We actually have a history as Alliance of people sacrificially giving. And by sacrificially giving, I mean like giving beyond what they can afford because God asked them to. And then God shows up in their life. All right? I don't even think as a church we're there. I got to be honest with you. This is probably the wealthiest church I've ever served at. That's not saying a lot because I've been in a lot of almost dead churches. But literally, we have a lot of resources available here. And I think this is one of those times when we have to ask ourselves, are we stewarding God's money well? Are we stewarding His money well? And I just want to put this out there for you. Here's the thought. When you give to missions, I see it as an investment. You're investing that there will be a chance for somebody to hear the name of Jesus who will not hear it if somebody doesn't go. In Romans 10, it says, how will they believe if nobody preaches? And how will they preach if nobody sends them? And I think we can be a church which can own this sending piece. Or we can look and say, you know what? We want to send people, yes. We want to reach our local people, yes. But we also want to see as many people sent as possible. And we could own that. We could do that. Because here's the thing. When I'm talking sacrificial giving, I'm saying I don't even think we're at that level. I think a lot of us could simply write a check for a lot more money than I'm used to, and it could go a long way. I did the math like a year or two ago when I was thinking, you know, most of us like coffee. I don't, but most of us do. And if you buy like a Starbucks cup of coffee, like a $5 coffee once a week, if you gave up one cup of coffee a week for the whole year, it's over $1,000. And we often don't do that kind of math. I don't even think we're at that level. But if you're at that level where you're like, you know what, I don't have any money in the bank, give up a cup of coffee a week and give it to missions. That's $1,000 a year. That's a lot of money. That money can go a long way. And so what I'm asking you is this. What is Jesus asking you to invest that other people might know Him? And I want you to pray about that. And I don't want you just to pray about it once. I want you to be praying about this for the next couple of weeks because we're taking up the special offering on August 12th. Our missionaries are going to be there. It's going to be a great, great day. But I want you to seriously pray about that. And I challenge you, parents, pray with your kids. Kids, you can do this too. If you're given an allowance, you can give. This is for you too. If you've got that allowance, you can do that. If you don't have an allowance, I want to throw this out there for you kids. If you're like, I have no money because I don't give my kids money, I just treat them when I do things, this is something you could do. You could say, you know what? Mom and Dad take me out for ice cream for the next 3 weeks. Instead of going out to get ice cream or getting desserts, you could ask your parents, Mom and Dad, could we give that money to Jesus? Could we give that money so that people could come to know Him and missionaries could be sent? There's ways we can do this. But this is for all of us. So what's Jesus asking you to give? So real quick recap for us here, okay? We want to see the reach these people groups reach for Jesus. That means all of us reaching our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, our classmates. It means some of us accepting the call of God to leave home and go to some other country or some other place so that people who've never heard His name can hear His name. And it also means all of us banding together to say, we can send people and more people. The sad fact is this, guys. We, in the Alliance, we are around. Like some of our missionaries are around people groups that we know have never heard the name of Jesus. And we have missionaries like right next to them, but we don't have the funding to send anybody there yet. So all we're waiting for is the people to go and the money to send them to go into a place where nobody's ever heard the name of Jesus. And we're ready if we can just be launched. We can do this. We can see the least reached people groups for Christ. But only if we do this together. Through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we can do it. It's time to get out of the sidelines, out of the bleachers, and engaged. Let's pray. God, I praise you that you are wonderful, that you are high and lifted up. I praise you, God, that you will use anybody. God, if you're the God who can use Samson, you can use anybody. God, I ask right now, would you just continue or begin to speak to all of us in this room about what you're calling us to do? I just invite you to pray along with me here, just in your seats, just quietly, just receive this, kind of let God speak to you right now. God, I just ask that you would reveal to each one of us who is around us that you are calling us to reach. God, I ask that you would bring to mind right now that individual, that family, that co-worker, that neighbor, that we know or don't know well, that you are asking us to reach for Jesus. Bring that to our minds, God. God, would you begin to show us how we can begin that journey, that relational journey with them, or that's inviting them to dinner, or hanging out after work, or whatever that looks like, that you would begin to show us what that looks like. If that's, as a kid, inviting our friends over for a play date so we can get to know them better, would you show us who those people are? God, I just ask that you would begin to stir in some of our hearts the call to overseas missions. Your word says that the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. And so, God, I'm asking, would you raise up more workers out of our midst who will take the call to go to the least reached peoples all over the ends of the earth who've never heard the name of Jesus? Would you help those of us who are around them to support them and encourage them and not dissuade them? I specifically ask, God, for the parents in this room whose children are being called into ministry, that you would help them encourage that and bless that and not stand against it. To not be in fear of what may happen to their children, but to release them to you and allow them to follow the call of God on their life. God, I ask, would you be speaking to us now and for the next couple of weeks? What are you asking us to invest? Would you help us to be attuned to your Spirit, to hear from you clearly? God, would you help us to come against any kind of fear or even just selfishness on where we invest our money? And you help begin to change our mindset to think, what is more worthwhile in investing than for people to come to know Jesus? God, would you begin to stir in our hearts and we hear clearly from you what you want us to give. God, I praise you for what you're doing. I praise you for what you're doing. God, we ask that your Spirit would continue to move in us and through us. God, our desire is to see the least reached people groups of the DMV region and the ends of the earth reached for Christ. God, we want to hear a year from now the testimonies from this church body, the people in this room who said, because of what God did through me, this person now knows Jesus. God, would you break our hearts for what breaks yours? Would you continually stir our hearts to see this become a reality? The least reached found. Just ask that you would continue to move in us, God. In your name I pray. Amen.